Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for attending this section. My name is Sonia Rivera, and I had the great opportunity to intern with the Massachusetts Nurses Association this past summer. And the title of my presentation is The Massachusetts Nurses Association, My Union Experience in the Development of a Survey on Bloodborne Pathogens. I have no relationships to disclose. A little bit of background, MNA is the third largest nurses union in the United States and is composed of 23,000 members. I work specifically with the MNA Division of Health and Safety, where I learned of the many occupational hazards encountered by nurses throughout Massachusetts. This particular hazard that I looked at was bloodborne pathogens, which includes HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. And this point will be important to later on in my presentation because a lot of people, including nurses, only think about HIV when they think of bloodborne pathogens. So I learned that exposure to bloodborne pathogens is still very much an issue in nursing through conversations with nurses prior to the development of my survey. This is one quote that particularly stuck out to me. I've been stuck with a needle dozens of times throughout my 30-year nursing career. I worked at a hospital where we treated a large prisoner population. The causes of these injuries were patients getting out of control, the type of needle device, it could be anything. So this really shows a really drastic and unfortunate situation with a nurse being exposed to bloodborne pathogens throughout her career, and it's just an example that this is still very much an issue today in nursing. So the objective of my bloodborne pathogen survey. There's a current dilemma involving HIV-informed consent forms and nurse safety. Massachusetts is one of the two U.S. states that still requires specific written consent for HIV testing. The other one is Nebraska. And this can be problematic because after a nurse is exposed to a bloodborne pathogen, the CDC recommends immediate treatment, and acquiring a signature for an HIV-informed consent form can get in the way of treatment and it can prevent a nurse from formally reporting an exposure. So the survey aims to determine whether legislation is needed to waive HIV-informed consent during an emergency. So the methodology, at the beginning of the summer, I conducted a literature search. I specifically looked at current government regulations, such as the OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard. I also looked at current bloodborne pathogen exposure control plans in hospitals. Then I interviewed approximately 10 nurses to find out a little bit more about why bloodborne pathogen exposures are occurring. And then I distributed 5 pre-pilot surveys to MNA nurses, got the results of those pre-pilot surveys, and made some changes. I made corrections and then distributed 25 pilot surveys. The last step was making the survey electronic via SurveyMonkey, and currently 222 nurses have taken the survey electronically. The link for the survey is up on the MNA website right now, and it was also distributed in a mass email to MNA members. And the results that I show you later on are just going to be a brief snapshot of the results so far, because I'm hoping to have at least 700 survey responses by the end of December. Some characteristics of the survey. It is completely anonymous, and it's composed of 26 questions. The results reveal information regarding the following four very important topics. 1, how nurses define bloodborne pathogen exposures. 2, the frequency of them. 3, why nurses are not formally reporting them. And 4, the treatment process after being exposed. For example, is a nurse seeking a physician right after being exposed? Is a nurse taking antivirals after 24 hours if she is prescribed antivirals? And also, is there any obstacles with the HIV-informed consent form? Some of the results. What do you consider a bloodborne pathogen exposure? And this is only, as of right now, a 222 survey results. So I just want to let you all know that all of these are bloodborne pathogen exposures, and we see here that the only ones that nurses are consistently believing almost 100% of the time that are bloodborne pathogen exposures are blood on non-intact skin, needle stick injuries, and bloody fluid in your eye or mucous membrane. So we see some basis for education here because, for example, urine on non-intact skin, bloody urine on intact skin, blood on intact skin, and a splash of body fluid are all also exposures. This gets at the frequency of the exposures. Have you had a bloodborne pathogen exposure over the past 10 years? 37.3% said yes, showing this is still very much an issue. This goes into a little bit more detail. If you have had a bloodborne pathogen exposure over the past 10 years, how many times has it happened? 45.2% said between 2 and 5 times. 50% said once, so it's showing that sometimes it does happen more than once. So I just want to get a little bit more of a sense of how often it's happening. Over the past 10 years, have you had a bloodborne pathogen exposure that you did not formally report to your organization? 42.9% said yes, and this is something I'm particularly looking at and think is really interesting, because that's really not a good thing to be finding. And this next question gets into why. If you did have a bloodborne pathogen exposure that you did not formally report, what kept you from reporting it? Top 3 reasons we see here, I did not think it was an emergency, I did not think it was an exposure, and too little time. So the two left most columns provide some basis for education, and too little time is a problem that's really inherent in nursing right now, nurses not having enough time and feeling like they can't go and for example, seek treatment after being exposed. And this survey is sort of designed as a funnel, like 222 nurses start with the survey, but here you see that only a little bit over 20 nurses say, I did not think it was an emergency. That's because, according to the responses to questions, they're shot to different questions. So not as many nurses answer this question. Next, post-exposure, did the source patient sign an HIV-informed consent form? We see that 23% said no and 27% said don't know. So there's some ambiguity around this process. And this really shows a little bit of concerning evidence that maybe there's a problem with this HIV-informed consent form, but I'm also looking forward to getting more results. Moving forward, the Bloodborne Pathogen Project will become my applied learning experience at Tufts. I hope to look at these results more deeply next semester and analyze them, and also publish the results in the Massachusetts Nurse Newsletter and possibly a journal manuscript. An important part to the OHIP experience is a give-back product. Here's a trifold brochure that I created that I'm proud to say was passed out. A couple hundred were passed out earlier this month at the annual nursing convention in Newton, Massachusetts. This is the inside of the brochure, which has the bulk of the very important information. There's the OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard. There's instructions for what should I do if I am exposed, and also a definition of a bloodborne pathogen and what classifies as a bloodborne pathogen exposure. So all very important information. There are a few challenges and successes to my OHIP experience. One challenge was creating a survey that applied to all nurses in Massachusetts. Anyone that's designed a survey knows it's very difficult to get the wording right and make it so it's communicated really well. But I had the chance to interview nurses and collaborate with M&A Health and Safety, especially my supervisors, pictured here with me, Chris Pontus and Peg O'Connor, who really helped me because they used to be nurses and they helped me word the questions in a way that was really easy for them to understand. Another challenge is representing M&A as an intern at union events without a nursing background, but I was able to support them as a public health student. This was a really amazing experience right here, testifying on behalf of the Safer Alternatives to Toxic Chemicals Bill. That's me pictured with my two supervisors from M&A. And that was this past July. Some personal reflections. I had a truly wonderful experience this past summer with OHIP. I not only got to complete a bloodborne pathogen survey, but I also learned of so many issues facing occupational health nursing. I learned how unions function, the cohesiveness and support that they can provide. I know I always felt cared for, and I felt like my supervisors really cared for all of their M&A members. And I learned an activist approach. One of my supervisors, Chris Pontus, said to me, you know, Sonia, if you're passionate about a subject, don't be afraid to go and attend a rally. Don't be afraid to go and testify on behalf of a bill. You know, be an activist citizen and show that you care about the subjects that you care about. This is at the first week of my M&A experience, and that's a rally on Wall Street with some M&A members. Starting it off. I would like to acknowledge all the nurses of M&A, especially Chris Pontus and Peg O'Connor, OHIP staff, especially Craig Slayton, the Association of Occupational and Environmental Clinics, and the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. I know a lot of you who made the internship experience possible for me are in this room, so I want to say a huge resounding and appreciative thank you. Thank you very much.